Hello. Welcome to the Unity Spiritual Center of Albuquerque podcast featuring the Reverend Gordon Kyler or occasionally a guest speaker. You can find us online at uscabq.org or by searching for Unity Spiritual Center Albuquerque on Facebook or YouTube. You can visit us in person at 9800 Candelaria Road Northeast in Albuquerque, New Mexico. And now, Reverend Gordon Kyler.
Well, today we are continuing our series on the transformative power of love. And if we were to describe the Creator and creation as I did in the meditation with one word, what would it be? Love. Oh, by the way, now's when you pull out your phones and take notes. I love technology. Can you tell? I'm a geek. But we've been exploring this idea of what love is on a deeper level, on what we would call a metaphysical level even, a level of personal acceptance and expression. How do we embody love? How do we use love to actively change the world? And we've come to realize that love is descriptive of creation itself. We have many words we use, especially for the creative force, God, of course, being the most commonly used one. And we talk about power, source. Other religious languages have different words, Allah, Buddha head. But in reality, all of them can be summed up with the word love. And that love not only is the creator and the creator's nature, it is the principle of creation. It is the nature of creation itself. It is the nature of everything, including healing. Love, as we talked about last week, heals not only the body, and sometimes the sinuses when the juniper is pollinating. It can heal relationships. It can heal the planet itself if we can just get into that energy. So it's more than just a beautiful idea. It is a living, breathing force that we can express in every moment and every day. Today, we're going to look at how we can use love and put it into action. Action in our lives, in our consciousness, and in the world around us. As the Apostle Paul reminded us in 1 Corinthians 13, love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not envy. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. And it keeps no record of wrongs. That's a tall order for most human beings. Let's think about that. Are we always patient? No, but love is patient. Now, the good news is you're not going to go to hell if you don't get this all right and perfect. We don't even believe in hell except as a state of consciousness. If you're new to Unity, we don't believe there's a place called hell. There is one in Michigan, but that's it. And Jamaica, yes. But back to love. Love is kind. Love does have a sense of humor, too. But love is kind. It's not boastful. It's not proud. It does not dishonor others. In fact, love honors everybody exactly as they are in Unity all the time. What do we say? I love you exactly as you are, and so does God. It's not self-seeking, it's not easily angered, and it keeps no record of wrongs. That's a tough one for human beings because we're like elephants. We remember everything, even if we say we're going to try to forget. But the important thing to remember is love is also evolving. We are evolving as love. We are learning and getting better and better and better at it. And so love is not meant to be just lived and not just understood. Love is meant to be an active energy at work all the time. Therefore, today we are going to explore ways to put love into action in our personal lives, in our relationships, and in our communities. How to embrace love as a daily practice rather than a passive belief. So we have to begin with asking, where does love start? Who knows the answer? Well, go ahead, somebody said it. Love begins with ourselves. Jesus knew this. As I shared last week with the greatest commandment he gave, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and body, and your neighbor as yourself. Now, when he said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and body, he wasn't talking about a guy up there on a cloud with a beard. Where's God? Here, we are God expressing. So if we cannot love ourselves, we can't love God. If we cannot love ourselves, we cannot love our neighbor. It says, do it as you love yourself. We generally take that teaching at face value, but there's a very deep metaphysical meaning to it. It invites us and calls to us to understand the principles of love behind it. The principle of oneness and divine expression. For truly, who is our neighbor? Our neighbor is us. There is no point where I end and you begin. We are part of one whole. There is no point where I end and a person I disagree with on some issue begins. There is no point where I end and a homeless person, a drug addict, even a politician. Really, we are all expressions of the whole. And when we can come back into that awareness of that principle, we become a harmonizing force, a unifying force. We become the principle that God is in action. Charles Fillmore described love as the power that binds all things together in divine order. The power that brings all things together in divine order. Right now, we're not seeing a lot of order in our world, are we? Well, it's there, I promise you. It's kind of working behind the scenes, I think, at this point. There's greater things unfolding through all of this. But as we become more loving, and that's more than just going, I love you. That's being the power of love at work in the words we think, we speak, the thoughts we think. As we do that, we create a greater harmony. And there's a ripple effect. It's like the peace song. It begins with us and it ripples outwards. So love is about recognizing the divinity in every single human being we meet, no matter how different we may be. It's about oneness. It's about recognizing that there is no other. There is no separation, as I said, between us, myself, and you, or anybody else. Therefore, there can be no other. There's only the one. When we love one another, we are actually loving an extension of ourselves because we are all expressions of the one presence and the one power. Call it God, call it whatever. So another principle that comes into play here is the law of mind action. You've all heard this. It's a core unity principle. Thoughts held in mind do what? Very good. Thoughts held in mind produce after their kind. We create our world, our experiences, through the thoughts we hold. And therefore, if we are holding thoughts of love, we are generating love. We are activating that power of love, and it is one of our 12 powers. We are activating that power of love within ourselves, which leads to greater peace, to greater joy, and to greater harmony in our experience and in the experience of those around us. So as I said, it really, truly all begins with self-love. The phrase, as yourself, highlights that you cannot fully love another until you can do that for yourself. You have to acknowledge and embrace your own worth. It's a divine worth. You know, we are some of the most, probably the most self-deprecating species that has ever existed. We talk to ourselves all the time up here about, oh, I'm just no good at this. Oh, if only I knew how to do this. If only I looked like this. Smelled like this, whatever. We are divine. And when we can understand that with true understanding, then we can see the divinity in others. So if love is missing in your self-perception, it will be difficult to extend love to those outside of you. Now, this sounds kind of selfish, but it's not. It's the most loving thing we can do, because that is how love is activated within us. And once it is activated, it becomes transformative. It becomes an active force, not just a feeling. Eric Butterworth said this, "Love is not something you feel, it is something you do." And I would take it one step further, it is something you are. Not just something you do. I can do lots of things I don't like to do. Paperwork. Chores, yes, all kinds of stuff. But when we are love, when we are in that place, then we create it for others. We uplift the consciousness. You've heard me say this before when Jesus said, if I am lifted up, I draw all others to me. He wasn't saying, put me up on a pedestal and worship me. He was saying, when I, in this case, the Christ consciousness, the energy of love is lifted up, it lifts up everybody around. If you rise up, I am lifted up. So before we can express it outwardly, we have to begin to express it and cultivate it within ourselves. Ask yourself this. Ask yourself these questions. Number one, how do I treat myself? Do I extend the same love, compassion, and forgiveness to myself that I would extend to others? The Buddha reminds us, you yourself, as much as anybody in the universe, deserve your love and affection. Self-love is not selfish, it is foundational. So how do we do that? How do we begin to practice greater self-love? Well, there's a couple things we can do. First, self-care. Take time for rest, nourishment, and self-compassion. Go for a hike next month, not this month. Unless you want to go by yourself, you can. Or get a group of people and go. Love begins with honoring our own well-being. And then forgiveness. What are we holding on to? Self-judgment? Regret? Guilt? Jesus taught us in Luke 6, forgive and you will be forgiven. Now, we've always interpreted that in traditional beliefs as, okay, well, I'll forgive others so that God will forgive me. That's not what he was saying. He was saying, forgive others because you are others. We're all one. You can't forgive somebody else unless you can forgive yourself for whatever you are holding on to. And that is what I call the great release. When you can release the guilt, when you can release the energetic link to something that happened in the past, whether it was to you or by you. When we release that, we create freedom. We create a place for love to flow. Another thing we can do is use affirmations. In Unity, we embrace the power of affirmation. Our prayer chaplains, they use affirmative prayer. You know, I grew up being taught prayer that was beseeching, begging, pleading. Oh, God, please forgive me. Give me a new bike. I'll promise I'll be good. We use affirmative prayer. When we're praying for healing, we say, I am whole. I am healthy. That I am is powerful. That's our divine name. When Moses asked God at the burning bush, who shall I say has sent me? The reply was, I am that I am. I call it the Popeye affirmation. I am what I am. I am God expressing, so are you. So when we say I am anything less than perfect and whole, we're negating the power that God is. Go, oh, I am sick. No, you're not. You're experiencing that, but you are whole and perfect. And as we come back into that remembrance, that's how Myrtle brought about her healing. She reminded herself that she was whole and perfect. So we embrace these powerful affirmations, making them firm in our consciousness, because once it's firm in our consciousness, it becomes firm in our practice. We can have love in action through our relationships, because love is meant to be shared more than just on Valentine's Day. Our closest relationships are the first place in our lives where we practice sharing love. One way we can do this is by being kind and compassionate, even to those who are different than we are as individuals. Charles Fillmore said, "Divine love will bring your own to you, adjust all misunderstandings, and you will make your life full, free, and complete." The misunderstandings he was talking about were right up here. That misunderstanding about who you are, what you are. Again, because once you can understand that for yourself, you can understand it for others. I think one of the reasons we haven't been successful at creating a world of peace, a world of harmony, the world that Jesus and Buddha and others envisioned, is because we haven't got it in ourselves yet. It has to start there. And when we can meet ourselves with patience and empathy, we can meet others with patience and empathy. Even those who hold different ideas or different opinions. That doesn't mean we let go of our ideas and opinions. We're human beings. We do have ideas and opinions. But we can be open and listen to others. I have a saying, I think I probably stole it from somebody at some point in my life. And Rumi, certainly it's a play on something Rumi wrote. That is, somewhere between what I believe and what you believe is a greater truth waiting to be discovered. Somewhere between what I believe and you believe is a greater truth waiting to be discovered. I don't know it all. You don't know it all. If you do, we need to talk. We don't. But we learn from each other. And oftentimes, in the greatest disagreements, out of that comes, when we can listen to each other, the greatest truths and the greatest overcomings. When we do that, we create deeper connections with one another, between nations, between societies, between families, when we can have that consciousness. When we actively listen, are we truly present when we're in a conversation? Or are we busy thinking about how we're going to reply? Love in action means listening with an open heart. And then that allows us to take the next step, which is forgiveness and understanding. In Buddhism, there's what they call the metta meditation, which is loving kindness. It teaches us to extend not only to those we cherish love, but to extend love to those with whom we disagree, to those who challenge us. Oh, that's a tough one, isn't it? Especially today. But that is what we are being called to do. Jesus tells us in Matthew, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Pray really, truly in here. And the prayer, I think, that he really was teaching was not, I pray that God will change you so you agree with me. And that's what we do quite often. It is, I pray that I can hear and understand what you're saying. That I can be open to your ideas. I may not agree, but at least I can understand where you're coming from. At least I can understand what your concerns are, what your hopes are, what your dreams are. You know, when I say in the morning, when I welcome new people, I say, we see you. We see your struggles, we see your hopes, we see your dreams, we see your challenges. Most importantly, we see your light, because that transcends everything. Loving action is choosing to love, even when it's not easy. Of course, another way we can put love into action is through service and generosity. When we put love into action through serving others, we uplift and heal the world. We do it with a joyful heart, not because we think we must be obligated, because maybe God will like us better if we feed the hungry or help the poor. That's important to do because they are an extension of us. But it's not to win God's favor. We got that. It's to be God's favor in action. It's not about grand gestures. It can be found in a simple smile, a helping hand, or a word of encouragement. A simple, "You are amazing. You can do this. You have what it is within you to do this. You are worthy." That's a message that is missing a lot. You are worthy. Christianity traditionally negated that message. You're only worthy if you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Other than that, no, you're not. But yet, Jesus himself said, "You are gods and goddesses, sons and daughters of the Most High. You are created in the image and likeness of the divine. You are worthy." No exceptions. And another way we can express love in action is through giving. Jesus tells us, "Give and it will be given to you." When we give freely of our time, our talents, our resources, we are reflecting divine love. And more important, we're putting ourselves in the energetic flow of divine love. We're becoming part of that. And of course, sometimes that involves reaching beyond our comfort zones. Who in our community needs love, needs uplifting? The homeless? The lonely, the marginalized? How can we be the hands and feet of love in their lives? That's the great question that we then can ask. This next one is one I always kind of crack up at, is we can be love in action through our thoughts and prayers. Notice that's the last one, not the first one. You know, so often we say, "Well, you're in our thoughts and prayers." And that's good. Don't ever stop doing that. But that comes at the end of all the other steps. Because our thoughts shape our reality. Prayer is a powerful way to put direct love into the world. And all these other things empower that prayer to be more effective. When we hold thoughts of love, we are being in love. We are being love in action. Charles and Myrtle Fillmore both wrote, one way or another, "Thoughts held in mind produce after their kind, and if we dwell in the thought of love, we radiate love." So what is love in action in prayer and thoughts? Well, it's interceding on the behalf of others on an energetic level. It's getting yourself in that place and extending it to that person. That's what our chaplains do. They hold the high watch. You've heard that expression? They hold the high watch. They are, and that means they are in that vibration of love so that when we forget it, they are there to remind us. When you go for them to prayer, their primary purpose is to remind you of the truth of who and what you are and what reality is. That's what Jesus did. He didn't come and say, "I've created something new." He said, "I am here to remind you. These truths are universal and ancient. I'm here to remind you that you are the light of God." Instead of praying for things, we pray the things. I like to say, instead of praying to God, we pray God. We say things like, "I am an expression of love. Love flows through me and blesses all whom I meet." So these are the ways we put love into action. It's not just an outward thing. It's an inward thing that flows outward because we are part of the whole. We are part of the flow of energy. Love is a practice, not a feeling. It becomes a feeling when we put it into practice. But in and of itself, it's energy flowing. It's a practice. It's choosing patience over frustration. It's choosing forgiveness over resentment, generosity over withholding. It is a recognition that we are channels of divine love and that every moment is an opportunity to express that divine love. So let us close with an affirmation together. I'll say each little part and you can say it with me, and then we'll say it all as one big whole. I choose love. In every thought, every word, and every action. I am a living expression of divine love. I think that's in your notes on the app. Is it? Good. Okay, so now we can say it together, and if you have the app, you can read along. You ready? I choose love in every thought, every word, and every action. I am a living expression of divine love. Yes, you are. Namaste.
We hope you enjoyed today's message. If you would like to support this podcast, you may do so at uscabq.org.